gave his life's blood, willingly laid down his life. And the Bible says, I was reading just this afternoon, where the Bible says that he was led away as a lamb to the slaughter. And they treated him pretty badly. And yet it says he opened not his mouth. He opened not his mouth. He didn't retaliate. He went willingly to the cross. And retaliation and anger is what we're speaking about tonight. I want to give the title to the message, Removing the Stinger from Anger. Anger can sting like a bee. Removing the stinger from anger. Let's pray together. Father, I pray that you'd bless us and help us to receive the truths that's in your word. Lord, I pray that you'd help us to be alert to the Spirit's leading tonight. Lord, help us to look to you for our guidance, for our instruction, for the truths that can transform our lives. Lord, I know that there's people who have varying degrees of anger problems. And there are others who don't know how to respond to those who are angry. And Lord, we need your guidance. We need your instruction tonight. So we just lay everything open before you tonight and ask you to have your free will and way in our hearts and in our lives. May our wills be soft and pliable like malleable clay. I pray you'd bless us in Jesus' name. Amen. When I first started keeping bees, I've got a couple of beekeepers in here, they'll relate to this. When I first started keeping bees, I got stung a lot. I mean, I got stung a lot. I had read books on bees, but there's something, Brother Mike, about the books. You just don't get it until you get out there in the middle of the bees, right? The books are good. I think everybody ought to read books on beekeeping, but when you get in the middle of them, it's just different. And there's certain things you learn that the books don't tell you. And I hadn't had bees very long. I decided I was going to move some of them. And the hives are made out of boxes about this deep, and they're about so big a square. And they got frames of honeycomb in them. And as the bees fill up the frames with young bees, and then you stack another box on top of them when they need it, and they'll fill that up either with young bees or they'll put honey in it, honey and pollen. And then when that one starts getting full, you put another box on top of it with frames of comb in it, and then they'll start filling it up with honey. They call those supers, the ones that you stack on top. And the higher you stack them, if there's plenty of blossoms, they'll just keep filling those up with honey. And so the hives can be stacked up pretty tall. I've got some right now that are probably stacked this high from the ground up, from this level. And box after box after box. Well, I was going to move a few hives of those to another location where there's more blossoms. And so I decided I would do it. You know, the bees, you have to move them. It's best to move them at night when all the bees are in the hives. When sundown comes, they go in the hive and hang out till morning, and they start work again. They're not like people. They go to work at daylight. And so you've got to stop up the entrance at the bottom. You can stuff some grass in it or put a piece of screen wire or something in the entrance at the bottom to keep the bees from coming out while you're moving them. Well, I had a trailer backed up there, and I was going to put this one hive was stacked up pretty tall. I took hive staples and nailed those boxes together where they wouldn't shift and move and let the bees out while I was loading them up. Well, I've got a couple of hives loaded, and I got this tall one. I got them on a dolly, tilted this thing over, and this thing probably weighing like 500 pounds or better with all the honey in it and everything. I wasn't smart enough to know you could take those supers of honey off and not have to move the whole thing. I'm just learning at this point. And so I got that thing. I'm pulling it up a ramp onto that trailer. I get halfway up on there, and one of the tires of that dolly slipped off, and the hive shifted sideways, and those boxes came apart and twisted, and bees started coming out everywhere. Well, I had on my bee suit, but that was before I learned that bees can sting you real good through a bee suit, too, when they're mad. And so they came out, and it's dark by this time. I've got a light on, and on my headgear, I've got a lamp, a little spotlight, And again, I was ignorant. I didn't know that light just says to bees, come and sting me. And they're coming. Just like moths will go to a lamp, you know, in the dark. So those bees are all coming right up in my face after that light. And I finally figured out, hey, they're after the light. So I took the light and I slung it off, you know. But this time they're already stinging my suit. And I'm feeling some of the stingers going through my suit. And once they sting you, they release a pheromone that the others can smell. And when they smell that right there where the one stung you, that says to the others, get him, boys, right there. And so they all come and they begin to sting you in the same places. And so I'm getting stung all over. And I think I'm going to get this thing on there. So I finally get it shifted, you know, and get it up on the trailer, get it set. And they're just all over me. And I'm trying to figure out how am I going to get out of here in a hurry. And about that time, I noticed that there's two bees inside my screen veil. They're in there with me. And so now I have the choice. I can just stand there and let them sting me inside that veil. Or I can pull the veil off and throw it down and let 1,000 of them sting me. So I decided I would try to just get out away from all those that's trying to sting me on the outside. I'll run up here behind a tree and get away from them. Then I'll pull the veil off and get rid of those two before they sting me inside. There's two or three inside my veil. And they're buzzing all around my face. I just got one good eye. And so I didn't want to get stung on my good eye and be completely blind. So I'm trying to play it cool. And so I'm running around this tree. But those bees didn't know how to play the game. I didn't lose them. You know, bees can go about 30, 40 miles an hour, and we can't run that fast. So I'm running around this tree. I'm running under limbs, ducking under the limbs, trying to get those bees. I think I'll lose them in the leaves, but no, they followed me. All around, these bees are after me. And they sound very vicious when they're trying to sting you. They've got that high-pitched sound. It's not that little buzz like, no, it's... It's like, we're going to kill you. And so these two are still in my veil, and I'm trying to get away and run around trees, and I'm running around the house. I run all the way up out of the orchard. Oh, I just felt something come loose. Oh, it's my suspenders. So you got to, when you're trying to act these things out, things go haywire. So I'm running up through there. I go to the house. Those bees, all 1,000 of them, still follow me. The two still in my veils. Spinning around and around right in front of my eyes. I go around the house one time thinking they'll finally give up, but no, they're still following me. I go around the house. I'm trying to figure out what am I going to do, so I'm just running. Here's an old man running who is out of breath, had heart surgery just a year or two before, and I'm about to fall out and have a heart attack, and I'm running out of breath, and I'm just panting. I think, I don't know what I'm going to do. And so finally, this is about the third time around, I thought, I'm going to pass out. I can't go any further. So what I'll do the next time around when I come past the patio door, those bees that's chasing me, I'll try to run around the corner real fast, and while they're trying to find me again, I'll yank that veil off, throw it off, and run through the door inside the house, and that way I'll get rid of all of them. And so I did that, and when I ran in, I slung that veil up in the air, and it was went one way. My glasses went another. It took me 2 weeks to find my eyeglasses. They lodged up at the top of a persimmon tree, and it had to come a storm and blow the glasses out of the tree before I found them again. I don't know how many stingers I had in me. When a honeybee stings you, they leave their evidence behind. They leave that little stinger in you, and you take a knife blade and scrape them out. I got stung to high heavens. Back in those days... I just didn't know that you can't be rough with honeybees. You've got to treat them gently. They're like women. In fact, they are women. All the workers are females, and they're cantankerous. And I take back everything I said about Brother Denny being crabby this morning. Men are not near as crabby. Those little workers, see, if you're gentle with bees, and when you're handling those boxes and you're handling those frames and you're taking them out real gentle, they'll usually, unless you got some really cantankerous bees, they'll stay put and they won't really try to sting you. But if you bump them just a little bit, then they're all mad and they're all over you trying to sting you again. And so I got stung a lot in those days. I've learned since then, after about a dozen years fooling with them, I've learned just to slow down, be gentle, and don't make them mad, because you don't win when you make bees mad. Now, what's all that got to do with the sermon tonight? Anger has a stinger. And anger can ruin your family relationships. We've been speaking on Sunday nights about the family. And your family can be full of pain and heartache, and it's worse than having a bonnet full of bees when you've got anger in the home and you don't know how to deal with it. And so tonight we're going to be talking about dealing with this thing of anger, removing the stinger from anger. Proverbs 25 and verse number 8. Proverbs 25 and verse number 8. We'll read several verses there. We've got a number of things that we're going to pull out of this chapter that's going to help us to see how to take the stinger out of anger. And this same anger that can wreck a home, that can make home life hell on earth, it can do the same thing on your job. Anger, uncontrolled, undealt with anger in your neighborhood can make your neighborhood a neighborhood of angry, stinging bees. It can make your church a place where you don't want to be when there's uncontrolled anger. Proverbs 25 and verse 8 says, "Go not forth hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof." That word strive is talking about letting your anger drive you to the point where you're in battle. And he says, "When thy neighbor hath put thee to shame, debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another, lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy turn not away." Watch this. "A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver, as an earring of gold and an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters." Then in verse 15, "By long forbearing is a prince persuaded," and watch this, "and a soft tongue breaketh the bone." Verses 21 and 22, "If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat, and if he be thirsty, give him water to drink, for thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee." Verse 28, "He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls." And so we're talking about how to bridle anger, how to bring anger under control. And you might not be one of those who just has a raging anger all the time. Maybe it just happens once in a while. Or maybe you're dealing with someone else who has the anger problem, and you're the victim. You need to know how anger works and the best way to handle it, how to take the stinger out of anger. There is an anger. There is a time to be angry. That's not sin. The Bible says in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 26, "Be ye angry and sin not." So there is a time to be angry, and there's a time not to be angry. The time that we are angry should be a time that we plan and have it under control. You can love people who are against you. You can love people who have abused you. But if you let your anger out of control, it will eat you up. As Adrian Rogers used to say, anger is that chemical, that acid that eats up the container. Anger is the acid that eats up the container. We're talking about how to take the stinger out of anger. Have you ever gotten angry at yourself? Huh? Have you? I have. When I was a kid, there used to be cartoons. There's the old-fashioned cartoons. I liked the old ones. The ones I got on now are just dumb or wicked. But the old cartoons they had, I remember this one old cartoon, they had this old spider. It was kind of like the theme of the Roadrunner, you know, the coyotes always trying to catch the Roadrunner. Well, in this old cartoon, it was before the Roadrunner days, this old spider was always trying to catch this bug. And he would set traps for the bug, try to catch him. And every time the spider would set a trap and miss the bug, the spider would get mad at himself. He'd go back into his house, and he had this contraption set up. There was a rope that went up over a pulley and came down on the other side and had a long board on it with an old boot attached to the bottom of that board. And he was mad at himself, so he'd pull on that rope and he'd kick himself in the hiney with it. Bang! Pull it. Bang! He's kicking himself with that old boot. And I've felt that way before, haven't you? I've done things that just made me mad at myself. And I thought, how could you be so dumb, Brooks? Why did you do this? And so we've all probably been there. There is a time to be angry. When we do things that's wrong, sometimes we need to get mad at ourselves. And we do need to pull out the old spiritual boot and give ourselves a swift kick in the hind end to get ourselves straightened back out again. But let me give you some marks of how to know if you're anger is sinful or not. Listen to this. Number one, if it's without sufficient cause. Your anger is sinful if it's without sufficient cause. Have you ever seen somebody just gets mad over nothing? Huh? I mean, just get mad over something silly. There's people who have walked out on their marriage because they got mad over... I heard on the news just a week or two ago where a couple had been arrested for having a pizza roll. They abused one another with pizza rolls. Yeah, the police had to come. A man and his wife got mad at one another and they flew into a rage of anger and they was beating each other with pizza rolls. The police had to arrest them, keep them from hurting each other. I've heard about people who got angry over something about like the food deal and one of them would actually kill the other one over something silly. So if your anger is without sufficient cause, it's just sinful. We ought not to get angry over something silly. There's people that walk out of church and leave a church behind over something that didn't amount to a hill of beans because they didn't have sufficient cause. Well, certain things ought to make you angry. Pornography ought to make you angry. Child abuse ought to make you angry. Homosexual marriage, abortion. There's things that ought to make you angry, but you ought not to be out of control. There's several things. I won't give you any more of those. Let me give you about six things that will help you to take the stinger out of anger. Number one, deal with anger patiently. Deal with anger patiently. Look in our text, Proverbs 25:8. Now watch this. You believe the Bible, don't you? Here's the Word of God. Look at this. Proverbs 25:8. Go not forth, what's the next word? Hastily to strive, lest thou know not what to do in the end thereof, when thy neighbor hath put thee to shame. Proverbs 25:8. Don't get angry in a rush. Don't get angry in a hurry. Some people fly off the handle just in a split second. It's in their nature. Now, if that's you, you need to go like that spider and fix you up a boot on the end of a pulley that'll kick you in the tail end when you get mad too quick. You just don't need to get mad angry. You know what our disposition ought to be as Christians? While there is a time to be angry, our first response ought to always be kindness. Our first response ought to always be kindness. Now, if you come up with sufficient cause to be angry, if somebody abuses my family, I'm probably going to get angry about it. But I better take time to think it through and make sure that I'm not flying off the handle and doing something too quick. Make sure that I'm right about it. Proverbs 14:17, it says, he that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. Did you hear that? He that is soon angry dealeth foolishly. You believe the Bible. So you have to believe that. That if you get mad quickly, you're wrong. Proverbs 15:18. A wrathful man stirreth up strife, but he that is slow to anger appeaseth strife. Now, do you get the idea that the book of Proverbs is telling us to slow down on getting angry? We don't need to have a hair trigger. We got to take our time. If you have trouble with getting angry too quick, you need to memorize these verses. You know, just memorize these verses and repeat them every day. The Word of God is quick and sharp and more powerful than any two-edged sword. It'll take care of your problem if you'll memorize the Scripture and get it embedded deep down inside so that it has the opportunity to be there when you need it. If you memorize Scriptures according to your problems, you'll be able to face those problems easier. Proverbs 18:13. Listen to this. He that answereth a matter before he heareth it, it is folly and shame unto him. Have you ever done that? I have. I've had people to come to me for counsel, come to the pastor for counsel before, and I thought I knew what they were saying. And they started telling me something, and I didn't let them finish. I just cut them off, and I said, well, here's what you need to do. And then after they said, well, that's not my problem, Pastor. Let me finish, and I'll tell you what it is. And they go on and tell me the rest of it, and I think, oh, well, I should have listened to you the first time. I jumped in too quick. I answered the matter before I heard it. And sometimes we can do that with our kids. We think we know what they've done or haven't done, and we jump on them too quickly. I heard about the mother who had the little boy who was been known to misbehave a little bit, and he was going to be going to a birthday party. And so she sat him down. When she found out he told her he's been invited to the birthday party down the street. And so the mother sat him down, and she said, "Jimmy," she said, you're in trouble every once in a while for misbehaving, and she said, "You embarrass me." She said, "Now when you go to that party, I'm going to call Mrs. Jones, and I'm going to tell her if you misbehave, I'm going to have her to send you right home, and I'm going to spank your bottom." And so the little boy, she sent him off to the party, and he went. 15 minutes, he come back in the house. Well, man, she jerked him up by the arm. I mean, she wore him out, and she gave him a good tongue lashing. She said, "Now, what did you do at that party?" He said, "I didn't do anything, Mama. The party's not till tomorrow." You know, sometimes we think we know, and we don't. The Bible says, "He that answereth the matter before he heareth it," We need to learn to listen. "He that is slow to speak, let every man be slow to speak." Slow to speak. And what? Quick to hear. We're supposed to, I think that's why God gave us two ears and one tongue, so we'd listen twice as much as we talk. Learn more when you listen. Amen. Proverbs 29:20. Listen to this. "Seest thou a man hasty in his words? There is more hope of a fool than him." So you're saying, "Preacher, if I fly off the handle real quick, I'm a fool?" I didn't say that. That's what God said. So you just have to take it up with God. He's the one that wrote it. I'm just the reporter. Well, Proverbs 25:8 says, "Go not forth hastily to strive." So, take your time. Be patient. Well, number two, we're talking about how to take the stinger out of anger. Number two, deal with anger privately. This is in the passage we just read in Proverbs chapter 25. Look at verses 9 and 10. "Debate thy cause with thy neighbor himself, and discover not a secret to another." Did you see that? Discover not a secret to another. "Lest he that heareth it put thee to shame, and thine infamy," your bad reputation, "turn not away." Proverbs 25:9-10. So, once you start telling things, telling people's secrets, there's no stopping to it. We let things slip out of our mouth, and sometimes we want to gather them back up and put them back in again, but it doesn't work that way, does it? Once we blurt it out, it's out there. And Facebook is making the problem a lot harder to deal with. People post stuff on the spur of the moment. I see some people on Facebook, and I know you can't always go by the typed page. Sometimes they didn't mean it the way it typed out, but boy, it sure does sound like they're yelling. Sure does sound like people are telling stuff they ought to keep to themselves. Facebook and in our public speech is no place to tell people's secrets. You know what a secret is, don't you? That's private information that we share with one person at a time. Huh? Yeah. Like what one guy said. Guy asked him about a secret, some secret information. The guy said, "Well, I'm not privileged to share that with you." He said, "Well, you can tell me." He said, "I won't tell anybody." The guy said, "Are you sure you can keep a secret?" He said, "I sure can." He said, "Good, I can too." We need to learn to keep our secrets. There's some things that just don't need to be spread. If somebody has done you wrong, we don't need to go and tell everybody about it. Are you listening? When somebody's done us wrong, we don't need to go advertise it. And this is what causes families to have a lot of problem. I've known of husbands and wives that'll go, they get into it with each other, and then they go and tell all their friends how wicked their husband is or how wicked their wife is, criticize their mate, and that makes things a lot harder to patch back together. Amen? And people do the same thing at church. There's churches that have been actually just imploded upon themselves Churches that have been destroyed because somebody said something, somebody done something that made somebody else mad, and so that person, instead of going to the one that that they thought started it, instead of going and working it out with them, they do what? They'll go and tattle to everybody else. And when something like that gets out of hand, and one person tells another, what happened to old so-and-so? Oh, you hadn't heard about that? Let me tell you. Yeah. And so then we begin to tell each other's secrets. Can I just tell you something, that every pancake has two sides? Every story, every event has two sides. And a lot of times all you hear when there's a blow up in a family or a blow up at church, a lot of times you hear one side, and if you go off half-cocked, just knowing half the story, you're likely to make a huge mistake. Because you may not know. There's times when things happen in our church that the preacher can't stand up and tell everybody publicly what happened, because that would make him guilty of what I'm preaching about right now. And so, while there's things that we can't tell, then that means that somebody else goes and tells something. And so that's the story that gets circulated. If your pastor's not circulating a story, how many sides are you going to hear? You're going to hear that one. And so when you hear that one, you're hearing that side of the story. And of course, we know people don't ever tailor the story to benefit themselves now, do they? Huh? There's some things that just don't need to be told. And let me take it a step further. Gossip and criticism and telling of secrets usually doesn't go very far if we don't allow somebody to use our ear as a garbage dump. When somebody starts telling you some juicy stuff, let me tell you what I heard old Brother Ted said. Huh? You know what I'd tell them? Well, why don't you go and tell Brother Ted that? Or if I need to know it, go tell Brother Ted. Do you think he needs to tell me about it? We don't need to share each other's secrets. And everything that happens doesn't need to become public knowledge. There are things that happen in people's private lives that need to stay private. Just because something is true doesn't mean it needs to be told. And so we keep that circle of knowledge no bigger than the circle of need. The people who are involved in it, that's affected by it, maybe they need to hear it, but people outside that circle don't. Keep it where it's supposed to be. A lot of church splits would be avoided if we would do that. Now let me show you another proverb that teaches the same thing in Proverbs 17:19. We're going to be in Proverbs 20:25 most of the time, but look at Proverbs 17:9. He that covereth a transgression seeketh love, but he that repeateth the matter separateth very friends. Did you get that? He that covereth a transgression. Now look, that's not talking about if you know somebody's kids are using drugs, and you're friends with their parents, that doesn't mean you ought to cover up for those kids and keep the parents from finding out. Hello? That's not what he's talking about. What he's talking about is if somebody over here, two people over here, kind of got into a little tiff about something, instead of me going and telling everybody over here about it, I can just kind of smooth it over. Somebody over here gets a little whiff of it, and I say, what happened over here? Well, it might be that the best thing to do, if nobody else really needs to know about it, the best thing to do is maybe just say, well, if you're really concerned, go ask them and see if they want to tell you. Huh? Amen. Now, some things we do in a public way in a church setting, because some things affect the whole church. And so we do it once in a while in a public way if it affects everybody. But if there's two people that are dealing with a problem and it's private, it's not, some well-known sin problem that's tearing up the church, it's best to just leave it alone and let those people deal with it. Too many people get involved in a tiff that's going on, and the more people get involved, and people start choosing sides. They feel like they've got to choose up and get on one side or the other. Let's just be on God's side. Amen. Matthew 18:15 says, if thy brother have a trespass against thee, go and tell him his fault between thee and him alone. That's good advice, isn't it? That's the way we're supposed to do it. I've known of times where parents didn't agree with something the preacher preached, and they made it a huge discussion in their family. And maybe it's a supper table, and they tell their teenagers, well, we don't believe what that preacher said, and you don't have to do that, and you don't have to believe him. And the next thing you know, those teenagers won't have an ounce of respect for anything the pastor says anymore, because their parents just destroyed any credibility that he had. There was a time when I was growing up when kids came home from school, if they had something, if they got in trouble at school, you know, you're probably in trouble when you get home. And now it seems like it's the other way around. Somebody gets the kid gets in trouble at school, the first thing to do is the parent marches down to school and jumps on the teacher without even knowing everything that happened. And, of course, we know our kids wouldn't come home and tell us something that was just slightly slanted in their favor, right? And so dealing with anger and taking the stinger out of anger. Number three, how do we deal with it? Deal with anger prudently. Look at verse number 11 back in chapter 25. Deal with anger prudently. A word fitly spoken. That means prudently spoken. Prudent. Think it through. Say something that's appropriate. A word fitly spoken. That means that the right words at the right time. You ever notice how some people just have a way of saying the wrong thing at the wrong time? We need to think things through. And sometimes it's better not to say anything. Hello? A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Chapter 25, verses 12 and 13. Listen to this one. As an earring of gold and as an ornament of fine gold, so is a wise reprover upon an obedient ear. As the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him. What he's saying is to be wise in the use of your tongue. If we're wise in the use of our tongue, we can say things that will help a situation instead of hurting a situation. I think the racial tensions in our country right now have been the worst it's been in decades. And it's because some of our leaders don't know when to shut up. They say the wrong thing at the wrong time, and they dash kerosene on the racial fires that's already smoldering, and they get it blazing again. 8 or 10 years ago, it seemed to me like racial tension was all but extinct. But now it's in full blaze again, because people say the wrong thing. Public figures in politics and in news media say the wrong things to get people stirred up even more. That's true. And when we say things in the right way at the right time, we can cover a multitude of sins, and we can keep a lot of things that might happen from happening if we just say it in the right way. You can do it in your family. Saying things, I said we'd deal with some things that might be you as the victim dealing with somebody else in your family or somebody at work that has an anger problem. Might not be you that's got the anger problem, but you know what you can do? When they blow up, you can be the one, you can be the voice of reason. You can be the one with the calming effect. You can be the one who uses the words fitly spoken. Because if they say something that's elevated to here and you come back and you try to match them, then it just keeps escalating until everything's out of control. And so somebody who is a wise reprover can say things that will be like apples of gold and pictures of silver. Say the right thing to calm the situation down. I mentioned this morning, I used to haul hay. I remember hauling hay for D. Wolf over on the farm about a mile from where I grew up. Oh, out there in the hot summertime days, about like we've had this past week, 100 degrees, blazing sun, stacking hay, driving a tractor and a wagon through the fields and stacking hay as high as you can throw it on that wagon, and sweating that old hay, the flakes of grass falling back. You got sweat rolling down your face and down your chest, and that hay falls back on you and sticks to that wet sweat and gets down in your shirt collar, and it's scratching and itching on you. And then you haul that hay into the barn, and you get up in the top of those old barns like we used to have, and you're up there throwing hay up in there and stacking it up under that tin roof, and your face is about 2 feet from that tin roof, and it feels like an oven. And your heart is going pump, 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 pump. and you're just sweat's rolling off of you, and you finally get that wagon unloaded, and you crawl down out of the hayloft, and there would be Mrs. Wolf, and she'd have a big galvanized bucket full of ice water. One dipper we all drank out of. But boy, that ice water, we didn't care if somebody had snuff juice running down the chin and drinking out of that dipper, man. We were so thirsty. That ice water was so good. When you turned up that dipper to drink that ice water, you just let it run down, wash that hay off, and run right on down your belly. And boy, that ice water was good. That's what the Bible's talking about here. Let me read it again. It says, as the cold of snow in the time of harvest, so is a faithful messenger to them that send him, for he refresheth the soul of his masters. Cold drink of water. If you say the right thing at the right time, you can be a refreshment instead of dashing gasoline on the fire. Hello? If people and their families would just learn, instead of trying to just be one up on the last one that spoke and be the one who is the peacemaker, didn't Jesus say in Matthew chapter 5, blessed are the peacemakers? You ever heard the saying, sticks and stones can break my bones, but words can never hurt me? That's the biggest lie that was ever told. Words can hurt you. In fact, they can break more than bones. They can break hearts. You can say things. We're talking about the way we say stuff. You can say two things, and one might be acceptable and the other not. I mean, you can say to a woman, you look like a breath of spring. Or you can say the same thing with different words. You can say, man, you look like what's left over from a long, hard winter. And that's the same thing, but different words, right? We need to have the right choice of words. You might say to a woman, man might look at a woman and say, when I look into your face, time stands still. Or you could say, man, your face is stop a clock. You know, kind of the same thing, right? But came out differently. Knowing how to choose the words. Knowing how to choose the words. A word fitly spoken is like apples of gold in pictures of silver, an earring of gold, and an ornament of fine gold, something that could be worn. Let me go to number four. Deal with anger powerfully. I'll give you these others real quickly. Deal with anger powerfully. You say, well, I don't want to be a wimp. I don't want to be a doormat. I don't want anybody to run over me. I don't want anybody to take advantage of me. So, I'm afraid to speak softly. I'm afraid people take advantage of me. Well, let me show you how to deal with anger in a powerful way. Look at verse 15 in our text, chapter 25, verse 15. By long forbearing is a prince persuaded. Now that's pretty powerful if you can control the throne. Hello? If you can control, we're talking about a prince here. A prince can be persuaded. How? Long forbearing and a soft tongue breaketh the bone. A soft tongue breaketh the bone. A soft answer turneth away wrath. Being patient and long-suffering, you can even control a throne. Did you know? For those who don't want to take a chance on being taken advantage of, so you got to play tough guy, did you know that if you do it God's way, you're more powerful than if you don't? And doing it God's way is doing it the way we're talking about right here. We're doing it in a way that's long-suffering, forbearing, not flying off the handle. And how can you break the bones of an enemy? By a soft answer. I don't know of anybody that has ever been persuaded by harsh words. I've got a friend on Facebook. I put a daily devotion on Facebook. Sometimes I put two or three and maybe some other little things on Facebook. I've got one friend who, bless his heart, he can't get along with anybody. I get along with him because I try to be nice to him. But he just sounds like he's mad at the world. I mean, he's just mad at the world. He'll call people stupid and fool And you've seen him at the end. And he's just, man, I reckon everybody hates him. Now, I get along with him because I just laugh at him and poke a little fun at him, and I understand him, you know, and he likes me. Nobody else likes him, but we get along all right because I understand that he's probably not near as tough as he sounds, but he tries to sound tough to wield more influence. But I told him, I won't call his name, I'll call him Jack. Say, Brother Jack, you ain't never going to persuade anybody talking to him like that. I mean, when you call somebody stupid and a fool, they're not likely to have a strong like for your position. He said, well, I'm not trying to change anybody's mind anyway. I said, well, then you're just wasting your time talking. If you, Dale Carnegie wrote a book nearly 100 years ago, How to Win Friends and Influence People. You know one of the things he said? Don't kick over the beehive to get the honey. And that's the way Jack does it. He's trying to get the honey, but he's always kicking over the beehive. The law of kindness being in the tongue, that's where the power is. Well, number 5, deal with anger positively. Look in verse number 21 and 22. If thine enemy be hungry, give him bread to eat. And if he be thirsty, give him water to drink. For thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head, and the Lord shall reward thee. Here a while back, it's been a few months ago, there was the city made some changes in their trash pickup, and you know, we'd always been happy about our trash pickup. They'd come right out here to our sidewalk at the corner of the building, pick up the trash, carry it off every twice a week, and so then they changed their policy. They wanted everybody put their trash cans all the way out to the front, and we had to have two or three, had to buy an extra one, or they wanted us to, and we're going to have to buy more trash cans, and we're going to push them out to the road, and then they're only going to pick it up once a week instead of twice like they used to, and some other changes were made, and it just wasn't, you know, it wasn't, a lot of people were unhappy about it. And so on Facebook, I saw some guy asking the question, what do you think about the new procedures for the trash pickup in Searcy? And two or three people said, well, we don't like it. And I just made a simple comment. I wasn't critical. I just said, yeah, I like it better the way it used to be. And so immediately I got a message from the guy who originally posted that. He was with a newspaper or a television station in Little Rock. And so he wanted to know if he could call me on the phone. Or I don't remember if we talked on the phone or we talked about instant message, but he began to ask me what I didn't like. And so I told him what I didn't like. And so he began to gather information. And finally I got the idea, this guy's going to try to use what I'm telling him. And he's going to try to get me on television. Sure enough, he asked me if I'd go on the air and speak out against the way Searcy's doing the trash pickup. I said, wait a minute. I said, look, I don't like it the way it is. It was better the way it was before, but I'm not going on television and rail against the city of Searcy. I'm a preacher. We're trying to build a church and reach people for the glory of God, try to be a help in the community. I don't want to make the city mad. I don't want to make a bunch of people mad. Just forget it. He said, you sure you don't want to come on TV? I said, no, I'll wait till Hollywood calls me sometime. And so he kind of got mad at me because I wouldn't go on TV. Well, I called the mayor up. And I said, look, I think you ought to know that I'm just trying to do you a favor. I said, the such and such TV station, this reporter at Little Rock, is contacting people in Searcy trying to get them to go on TV and speak out against the new pickup rules you guys have got for your trash. And so he started asking me, he said, what do you think about it? And I said, well, here's what I don't much like about it the way it is now. And I said, but don't worry, I'm not going on TV. I told him to forget it. I wasn't going to go in there and say anything bad. I said, We appreciate the city of Searcy, and we love the city. We're not going to try to stir up any trouble. Next morning, I think it was next morning, came out here, and we had two new trash containers, and they backed up to the door and got our trash from then on. We ain't had any more problems since. Hey, just a little bit of kind words, and he felt like I was doing him a favor by telling him that the TV station's after him. And so I talked to a couple of the council, not the councilman, what do you call it, aldermen, and so they were grateful, too. So, you know, it just helps. You get more what is it? You gather more flies with honey than you do vinegar. And so just be kind of kind. Deal with anger positively. Number six, here's my last one. Deal with anger personally. Personally. Verse number 28. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. You know what that's saying? That's saying that you better take care of the anger problem in your own life before you try to help anybody else. If you don't have self-control, and really self-control is not the right terminology. When we go over to Galatians chapter 5 and we talk about the fruit of the Spirit, temperance, it talks about temperance. It's not really so much self-control as spirit control, because it's talking about the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians chapter 5. And that just dovetails right into this truth right here. He that hath no rule over his own spirit is like a city that is broken down and without walls. Before we can help somebody else, we need to get ourselves right first. We need to have some control. And the only way you can do that is to surrender to the Holy Spirit of God and let Him work through you. Let the Spirit of God work through you. Be angry and sin not. That's how we do it. We do it patiently and personally. And, you know, you don't want to do like Adrian Rogers told the story about the old Andy and Amos and Andy. Does anybody remember Amos and Andy that used to come on? Yeah, I think it was Amos saw Andy with a big overcoat on one day, and he said, "What do you got in that overcoat?" He said, "I've got a bundle of dynamite strapped to my chest." He said, "What have you got dynamite strapped to your chest for?" He said, "Well," he said, "you know," he said, "this one guy that all the time." He bothers me every time he talks to me. He comes up and pokes me in the chest when he's talking to me. He says, "I've got that dynamite on there. Next time he pokes me in the chest, I'm going to blow his finger off." Now, that's kind of the way it happens when we decide we're going to get angry back at somebody. If we don't take care of the anger in our own heart, we're going to blow ourselves up. We're going to hurt ourselves more than we hurt them. You say, "Well, he just makes me so angry." No. Nobody can make you angry without your permission. Nobody can make you angry without your permission. If you get angry, you're the one that did it. Did you hear what I said? If you get angry, you're the one that did it. He didn't do it. She didn't do it. Nobody can make you angry unless you let them. Now, if we get these principles down in our heart, these six things, we can learn how to deal with anger, and we can learn how to help deal with the anger other people have, and we can take the stinger out of anger. Father, I pray that you'd bless the invitation time. Lord, help us to deal with the anger in our lives. Lord, our families can be so much better, so much sweeter. Lord, I think you want our homes to be like the nearest thing to heaven that there is on this earth. And I pray that you'd help us to work on that anger and get it out of our lives, out of our personal lives, get it out of our homes. Get it out of our churches. Get it off the job. Get it out of the neighborhood. And just learn how to take that stinger out of anger. Lord, help us to remember these biblical principles in chapter 25 of Proverbs. Lord, if we have a problem with it, I pray that you'd cause us to be concerned enough that we'd memorize these verses and make them real in our life. Bless the invitation, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.